This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. It's hard to believe it, but this episode is one of our last ones of the year, but we still have a couple weeks left. And as the year comes to a close, I wanted to go through some things to make sure that you're doing or to be aware of for the end of the year. We still have about 2 weeks left by the end of the year, so you want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to set yourself up well for taxes. Before we get into that, I just wanted to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want to hear your question answered on here, just have a question for me, an idea for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Reminder, my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, is available on Amazon and Kindle for download now. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your repair shop? Shoot me a text at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, Promotive and Wicked File. If you need to get your back office under control or hire the next rock star for your team, give them a call and let them help you out. Great news. You now have a hiring partner to help you with the heavy lifting of hiring your next superstar. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your auto repair shop. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. So like I said in the intro, we got about 2 weeks left in the year. So we're going to go down through some tax tips that I've been sharing on a couple webinars, but I wanted to share with you guys. And also some end of year tips to make sure that your financials are in order, because a lot of times some lack of care on the financials can actually cost you just as much in taxes as not getting some of these deductions. We're going to start off with going down through kind of some quick tips on end of year tax deductions. Some reminders on limits, some, you know, advocating on what I feel are some great tax deductions, and some reminders about things that you might have heard in the past, but don't want to make a mistake here. Really, the biggest thing I'm trying to avoid is someone making a move that they think is going to save them money on taxes, and it's really not. Or another thing where if they would have known this in a year when they could still make a contribution or make a difference on it, that they would have changed their behavior. What better place to start off with tax deductions than my favorite tax deduction, which is putting money away for your retirement? It's not as fun as buying a four-wheeler for your shop that you're going to tell me that is exclusively used to push dead vehicles out of the parking lot and plow. It's not as fun as that support vehicle that you bought to follow your customers around that might actually be a personal vehicle. But these are one of the few things out there where you are getting a tax deduction for putting money in your own pocket. I mean, really, the first two things on here are my favorite tax deductions, both very similar on this. But by doing this and creating this deduction, you're not only putting away money for the future, you are also generating cash. Before we get into some reminders on how this stuff works, I want to stress that comment that I made about how putting money into a retirement account actually generates cash. I know it's something that people don't like, right? Everyone likes instant gratification. And if you're someone that's younger like me, it might seem a little bit far out to say, I'm putting money away for retirement, but I can't really touch it for a long time. I'm not going to disagree with you on that fact, but I'm going to stress on here that not only is this a great deduction, a great tax savings, it's also going to be a great investment for your future. Compound interest is a magical thing. I have seen more people retire handsomely, not because they put a massive amount of money for a short period of time later in life. It's the people that started with something reasonable at a much younger age and it grew to a much larger amount. When you say, Hunt, this is going to generate me cash by putting money into my simple IRA or my 401k or my traditional IRA, what do you mean by that? How is that possible? The general idea goes something like this. You have $10,000 in your business or $10,000 anywhere, right? Because we're going to be talking about some personal things here too. But you got $10,000 that you want to put into a retirement account. You put your $10,000 from your checking account into your simple IRA, into your 401k, into your IRA, anything but a Roth IRA. Remember, guys, we'll talk about Roths in a second, but traditional, simple 401k, all taxable deductions, Roth are a great strategy, but not a tax deduction. You got 10 grand and you put it into your simple IRA. How much is left in your simple IRA? 10 grand. It is a direct transfer, but it doesn't stop there. I will argue up and down. Hey, you just put money into your simple IRA. How much money did that cost you? It cost you some cash, cost you some free cash flow that you're not going to be able to spend right now, but you got 10 grand here. Next day, you got 10 grand here. You still have all of your money. We just got a tax deduction and we did not actually spend any money. We still have this. That $10,000 contribution is probably going to save you $2,500 in taxes. So now instead of saying, hey, I have $10,000, you actually generated $2,500 in tax savings and are left with $12,500. Pretty cool, right? Again, I need to stress this. This is a one-way street if you're younger. If you want to say, hon, I want to lower all my tax liability, but you don't have a ton of cash and you're 40 years old, putting every cent that you have into a 401k or simple IRA is just not a great idea. Because if you take that money out before you hit full retirement age, not only will you pay tax on that, but you will also be penalized. That being said, if you're coming to the end of the year and you're saying, man, I put some money into my simple IRA, but not the full amount, or I put some money into my 401k, but not the full amount, what a great time to run a bonus for yourself. Whatever you want to put into your 401k or simple IRA, that's your bonus amount, and make a contribution into it. Remember, if you want to get a deduction for your simple IRA or 401k, it has to run through payroll and that payroll has to go before the end of the year. I cannot stress that enough. Every year I have at least 4 to 5 clients that they don't get this correct and that last payroll actually goes in January. Remember guys though, these limits of $16,500 for a simple IRA, if you're under 50 years old, or $20,000 if you're over 50, are at the calendar year. You run this on January 2nd, it's going to go for next year. December 31st is the last one. If you're in a 401k, it's $23,500 if you're under 50. If you're over 50, it's actually $31,000. Guys, if you have the money to do this, go ahead and do it. If your spouse is not on payroll at all, these you can double those limits because this is for individual. If you have your spouse on payroll, which I recommend doing if you have the cash to do so, you could put in upwards of, you know, $40,000 as a couple for a simple IRA or over $60,000 if you're an older couple in a 401k. Do this, guys. Make a contribution if you have it. Even if you haven't done this year, kind of put these limits in the back of your mind. Build a plan for next year. Maybe some things happened this year. Maybe it just wasn't the best year for you. Retirement is always going to be there. Don't let a bad year derail your retirement. Sure, it could probably reduce your contributions to it. Every single person listening to this has the money to put 50, 100 bucks into a retirement. Like I said, it's more about putting something in there and letting time build this than trying to put a massive amount of money. And like I said, God forbid getting yourself into a cash crunch position. The first two ones that we talked about all through your shops, simple IRA, 401k, have to be done through payroll. And like I kind of mentioned, if you don't have the cash to do so and you want to put a smaller amount in there, maybe starting with a simple IRA or 401k doesn't make sense. You can also go out and set up a traditional IRA personally, you know, which is going to have about half the limits of a simple IRA. But if you're only trying to put $3,000 or $4,000 away for retirement, great strategy. Again, if you're married, you know, and you want to combine your spouse's benefit too, you can put in over $10,000 to $14,000 in this. Really, really cool option. Extremely cheap to do. One of the unique things about a traditional IRA that is outside of payroll is you do not need to make that decision here in the next 2 weeks. Like I mentioned on the simple IRA and 401k, you got to run it on payroll. It has to be done in the next 2 weeks. A lot of times for traditional contributions, we will wrap up a tax return for our clients, go down, see what the exposure looks like, and decide if they actually want to make a contribution or not. If you're guaranteed, you know you want to do it, you want to max out for you and your spouse, great, do it now. If you want to see what the taxes look like, you do have a little bit of time. Before we move on, I have to mention Roth contributions. Now, I don't generally talk a lot at the end of year about Roth contributions because while it's the same idea that they have an annual limitation, the same as their traditional IRA, we do not get a tax deduction for them. Is a Roth a good strategy? Yes. Do I have a Roth IRA? Yes, I do. Is it something that I would use this time of the year to minimize taxes? No. If anything, for most of my clients, Roth contributions are something that you do when you have a really bad year, Since it is taxable, if you have a recategorization on it, you just don't want to pay more tax than you need to. Like I tell a lot of people on it, a Roth contribution is probably not something that you're just talking to your accountant about. A Roth contribution is probably going to be something coming from your financial advisor. And in a lot of cases with my clients, coupled with me as a CPA, client financial advisor, to make sure the timing makes sense on this. Along the same idea of getting a tax deduction for putting money in your own pocket, we have my next and probably my other favorite tax deduction, which is an HSA contribution. Just like the simple IRA, if I want to put $4,000 into my HSA, I can get a tax deduction for that. And what is an HSA? An HSA is a health savings account. So now that $4,000 that I have can go to pay for virtually any sort of medical expense that I have outside of monthly premiums, including things like hot tubs, saunas, all kinds of stuff on here. If you go out and you look, what can I use an HSA for? What you will probably realize is that you could utilize up to the maximum if you really think about it. For families, it's a lot higher. It's around $8,500. But again, you guys are probably spending this money. Whether or not you have those expenses or not, you get a tax deduction for contributing to this plan. Just like a retirement account, it is a use it or lose it annual limit. So if you have a family plan that's HSA eligible, you can put $8,550 in. You say, hon, I only put $7,000 in, I'll put the extra $1,500 in next year. It's not how it works. Annual limit, you get it once per year and it resets. Thinking to yourself, well, hon, I'm just pretty healthy. If you're pretty healthy and you don't have a lot of expenses, but you have a good bit of cash and profit, it is still a great idea to do because like I mentioned, you are getting a tax deduction and you still have this money. You end up being the healthiest person that ever existed on this and you truly never end up needing this. It ultimately turns into a very similar retirement account like an IRA on it. You are not going to lose this money. It's a great tax deduction. And like I said, if you do a little bit of research, a little bit of digging, most people can eat up this money fairly easily. One of the things here that I have to kind of tell you from an administrative side of this is first, you have to have an HSA eligible plan. Do you know if you have an HSA eligible health insurance plan? Go check with your health insurance agent and they will let you know. If you are saying to yourself, well, Hunt, I have an HSA eligible plan, I'm pretty healthy and I don't really have much taxes, should I still put money into an HSA? Yes. The biggest thing about an HSA is you are allowed to go and reimburse yourself for expenses. Give you an example of two different clients. One of them is going to be able to pay for this surgery tax-free and the other one is not. Shop owner one got an HSA 2 years ago and never set anything up. I'm very healthy. I don't need to do anything about it. Shop number two got an HSA at the same time and said the same thing, but he put $10 into an HSA account. 2 years later, both of them fall and have a massive injury where they have to go out and have a $4,000 surgery. Shop owner one is out of luck. He does not have an HSA because he's never put money into it. So he could set it up today or after his surgery and maybe use the HSA to pay for some of his physical therapy and stuff like that. Since shop number two actually set up that HSA, the clock was already ticking. So while he didn't have enough money in his HSA, the HSA was active and he was able to contribute $4,000 into that and reimburse himself for that surgery. So guys, even if you're not going to use this right now, set it up, put $100 in it, start the clock on it so you make sure that you don't lose these deductions in the future. Like I said, over-the-counter medication, a number of different things can be used for this stuff. I will argue that just about anyone out there, especially if you have kids, probably has enough to utilize a lot of this, unfortunately. I don't talk a lot about FSAs. So if you cannot have an HSA, most plans are eligible to have an FSA. An FSA is a flexible spending account. In most ways, shapes, and forms, it looks and smells very similar to an HSA. The biggest difference on an FSA is it's use it or lose it. So HSA, if you don't use it, it's yours. It's like a bank account. It carries forward. FSA, if you don't use it by the end of the year or get reimbursement, you forfeit the money. I know, kind of wild, but I always have to mention that.
Are you tired of spending endless hours searching for the perfect talent to join your team? Promotive is your full-service automotive staffing solution. At Promotive, we believe in being more than just a recruiting agency. We become an extension of your team, working tirelessly to ensure we place the right talent with the right shops. With our always be recruiting mindset, we're constantly seeking out the best professionals in the industry. We manage 90 to 95% of the recruiting process, taking the burden off your shoulders. When you partner with Promotiv, you gain a dedicated recruiter and account manager who will work closely with you, understanding your unique requirements and seeking out candidates who fit seamlessly into your shop's culture. We'll ensure that every candidate we present is thoroughly vetted and aligned with your needs. With Promotiv, you'll have a peace of mind knowing that we're handling the recruitment process with expertise and precision. We don't just match resumes, we match character, culture, and long-term success. Visit our website at gopromotiv.com today and experience the power of Promotiv's expertise and dedication. Together, we'll build a stronger and more successful team.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. So now that we got my favorite tax deductions out of the way, let's start getting into your favorite tax deduction. And there's probably not a more favorite tax deduction for shop owners than buying things. But I kind of joked about this before, but you want to go out and you want to buy a $20,000 side-by-side. You advocate that it's only being used to push dead vehicles, plow your lot, and all that stuff. To me, it sounds like an ordinary expense for your business. You want to go out and you do that? Great. How you pay for it, is that going to affect how much you pay in taxes? So if you go out and you buy the side-by-side and you pay cash, you're going to get a full write-off this year. If you get a loan for it from the bank or from the dealership and agree to pay them back over 5 years, you're going to get a full write-off for it. So no matter if you pay cash or you finance this stuff, you're going to get a full write-off for it this year. Vehicles are a little bit different. If you're buying a truck, a van, or a large SUV, it's the same exact thing I talked about. You go and get a loan for it, full write-off this year. You pay cash for it, full write-off this year. If you get a lease for a vehicle, where at the end of the 3 years, you give that vehicle back, we do not get any write-off unless you actually made a lease payment for it. And the last one on here is cars or small SUVs. We only can deduct $20,000 in the first year. Again, same rules on leases for vehicles. If you go out and you lease an S-Class Mercedes in December and you don't have any payments till next year, you don't even need to tell your accountant about it because there is no tax deduction. If you go out and you buy an S-Class Mercedes and you pay cash for it, we are going to get a $20,000 tax deduction this year. If you go out and you finance a G-Wagon, which is a large SUV, we can write off the entire amount this year, regardless of how you financed it, as long as you didn't lease it. Equipment is the same exact thing for you guys. One thing I want to mention is leases for cars are different than leases for equipment. When you lease a car, 3 years, they get the car at the end of the lease. When you guys buy equipment, 5 years, it's yours at the end. Even though Great American Financial calls that a lease, if you sign that lease by the end of the year, we get the tax deduction for that. Last thing to mention on here that a lot of guys don't think about, with some of the new tax rules out there, you guys are getting pretty decent tax savings or really good tax savings by putting money into your own real estate if you own your building. In the past, if I bought a toilet for my shop, I technically had to depreciate that over 39 years. Really bad tax deductions. Flash forward to today, if you want to redo your parking lot, if you need to do a new roof, new sign, new siding, new floor, redo the waiting area, redo floors in the shop, redo the lights in the shop, new HVAC equipment, any number of things that does not expand the existing footprint of your building, so pretty much anything outside of adding on bays to your shop, all qualifies for first year depreciation. You have a massive landscaping project, redo the parking lot, signage, $150,000. We can write off the entire amount this year. And again, same rules as equipment. If you went out and got a loan from the bank for it, we still get the write-off this year. Maybe you got to put some money back into the shop. Maybe you want to put some money back into equipment. Maybe you want to buy some toys. Figure out what you're trying to do. See what your alternatives are for financing on it. And keep in mind what the exposure is there for taxes. End of year bonuses for your team. And a lot of you guys have seen some pretty cool things of giving back some money to the team. Reminder, if you're running this through payroll, there's not a whole lot to say about this other than making sure you run that payroll by the end of the year. And I'll say that again. Make sure your end of year bonus goes by the end of the year. I was about to say, I think this year works out a little bit better until I looked at my calendar and realized that the last Friday of kind of the year is actually January 2nd. So yeah, guys, be careful on this one. You don't want to miss it. Want to give your employees money outside of payroll? You can get creative on this. We've talked in the past about reimbursements. So if you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about reimbursements. But reimbursing for cell phones, reimbursing for their tools, reimbursing for some training, reimbursing for mileage. A great way to get some employees some money tax-free and repay some of their cost. Also, remember for you guys, if you've used some of your personal money throughout the year, business can write you a check to reimburse for some of that. Now you got some cash that you can do whatever you want with. So guys, get creative on here. You're trying to reward your team, trying to give at least amount to the government on it and make sure that everyone wins. One big thing on here that I've kind of warned a lot is do not do a bonus check for yourself. Unless you're a C corporation, there's no reason to do a bonus check. And if you're an S corporation, there is absolutely no reason to do one unless you're doing it exclusively to put money into retirement. Not going to spend a ton of time on this. Got to trust me, but I'll give you the quick cliff notes. If you give yourself a bonus, you're not saving any money in taxes by an S corp. All of this flows through to you personally. So whether it's on payroll or profits, you are still going to pay tax on this money. You're just shifting around how you pay that. And even that in itself is costing you some tax money. The big reason that I don't like to give yourself a bonus is because if you give yourself a bonus, we're not saving any money on income tax and you're paying 15% of that bonus in payroll tax. Remember, when you run payroll, you as the employee pay 7.5% to Medicare and Social Security. You're also the employer, so you're going to be paying the other half of the 7.5% of Social Security and Medicare. Overall, it's going to cost you around 15% and you save zero money in income tax. Like I said, outside of a C corporation, outside of doing it for retirement purposes, do not bonus yourself, guys. You're not saving any money and you're going to probably cost yourself a bit as well, too. Hopefully some of those tips will save you guys some money on taxes, save your team some money on taxes, and make sure that you spend your money wisely and ultimately lower your taxes as much as possible. There's some other things, though, that you guys should be thinking about. These are actions or actual things that you're going out doing to make sure that you're getting the right amount of deductions. But what some people overlook is maybe not kind of scrutinizing your financials enough and discussing this with your accountant could be costing you just as much money as well. I'm going to go down through some quick tips. We really have four big things that we check for all of our clients, but some of you guys are not our clients. And also just a reminder, this is best practice as a business owner to make sure this stuff is accurate. And most importantly, make sure it is in the right spot so we're not paying more than we need to in taxes. To start off on that, inventory. Long and short is the lower the better, but I want to explain why. If you go out and you spend $100,000 of your cash and you buy tires and all of those tires are sitting in your shop, you have $100,000 less cash and you have a whopping $0 tax deduction. If you have inventory, inventory is not a deduction until it's sold and turns into cost of goods sold. Honestly, inventory is looked at on the balance sheet similar to a bank account, and you still have that asset. If you have $100,000 of inventory on your balance sheet, we got zero tax deduction for that. If you go and you look at your inventory in your shop and you realize you only have $50,000, then that means without an adjustment, without notifying someone, you're going to pay on $50,000 too much in income. So guys, look at your inventory. We compare this for our shops. We kind of have general rules of thumbs, but a lot of accountants aren't familiar what is customary with a shop. And we see this a ton when we do tax reviews. I see a general repair shop that I know that doesn't stock tires or really have anything that wacky. And I see $44,000 on a tax return. I'm going to be pretty leery about that. And 9 times out of 10, what we find out is no one ever verified that inventory and people are paying more than they need to. Again, if you have old inventory in there, hey, I get it. You might have paid 20 grand for this 20 years ago. No one's going to buy that stuff. It's dead inventory. Write it off. Do you need to throw it in the garbage? No, but I wouldn't count it as value when you do your end of year count. So guys, look at this stuff. Make sure it's tight. Make sure it's low. Talk to your accountant about what the effects of this are and make sure that you have that at an accurate level. Very similar idea on this is accounts receivable. An accounts receivable is money that customers owe you. Money that customers owe you means that we had sales. So let's say in that same kind of example or same numbers, I go out and I do a $100,000 job. It's a fleet account, so I book as $100,000 in sales and $100,000 in receivables. If I don't do anything, I'm going to pay tax on that money whether or not I receive it, because I expect to receive it, and probably as a turn of the new year, they end up paying me. However, if I don't do anything and that person never pays me, I'm paying tax on money that I'm never going to receive and never had. If you go down through your accounts receivable and you think this person is never going to pay me, then write it off. And again, very similar to inventory, does that mean write it off, destroy it, never can be looked at again? No, we are writing off for tax purposes, meaning we do not expect to collect this in a reasonable manner. If we end up collecting the money in courts, you know, good graces, whatever it is in the upcoming year, we will have to recognize his income. But if you don't have a good expectation that you're going to collect, we're going to write it off. If you're looking at this and you're like, man, I'm not sure, this could be about 50-50 on there, I am probably still, again, going to write this off for tax purposes. I don't want to pay any tax on money that I'm not pretty much guaranteed that I'm going to receive. And there is no free lunch here, right? Being aggressive on this is not really something that the IRS ever looks at, because ultimately, if these people surprise us and do end up paying us money the following year, we will still recognize that as income. But again, would you rather err a little bit too low, pay lower in taxes, and end up, you know, following up when these people actually pay you, or going out and paying a tax bill on all of these customers that might or might not ever show up? So write this stuff off. You guys can still collect this. You can still send to a collection company. But when you go down through this list with your accountant, make sure that it is not included in the figures unless you are going to collect this money. The opposite of accounts receivable is accounts payable. Accounts that we are receiving or accounts that we are paying. Really, the big reminder on accounts payable is to make sure that if you have bills in December, that you book those in December. If you're on accrual basis, that means that you're going to recognize the sales as you have receivables and your cost as you have payables. If you have a $65,000 NAPA bill that you pay in January and you do not enter a bill into QuickBooks or you do not notify your accountant about that, you are not going to get that tax deduction until next year. However, if you get this tight and you enter all of this into your accounts payable for December 31st, we will be able to accelerate those deductions and take it all this month when the costs were actually incurred, not necessarily when they were paid. So take a look at that payable schedule, make sure that that's tight. And another thing I'll kind of warn you guys on this, and it's something that we go down through and look for all of our clients, is a lot of people don't look at accounts payable all year. And now this wouldn't be kind of a great surprise for taxes, but a lot of times I see just bad payables that is old bills that have already been paid that really need to be cleared off. Whether or not you owe money on taxes, whether or not you're trying to get aggressive on here, what better time to get your inventory, AR, and AP cleaned up so that you have a good, sound foundation to start 2026? Last one on here is loan interest. We don't know what interest rates you have. We generally do not have the amortization schedules for your loans. So December reviews, we verify all loan balances, we verify year-to-date interest, and make sure that you get a tax deduction for that. If you have been just coding your payments to a loan account all year and not breaking out the interest, if you do not let your accountant know or they do not notify you, you will not get any interest deduction, or you won't get any deduction for any of those payments. With the current state of interest rates and kind of the rising rates on there, you need to make sure that you capture this. Think about that nightmare situation. You have a sizable amount of interest, which means that you probably have a lot of debt that's eating up a lot of your profit. You need to get the tax deduction for that interest, or you're just costing yourself money. All in all, some planning and preparation now will not only make your life less stressful trying to gather all of this in January, but will put you ahead of the game. As a rule of thumb for my clients, I always tell them to gather their information as soon as possible. I signed up for this. Don't feel bad sending your accountant. This is what we chose to do. If you have 95% of your information, we'd love to see this stuff early. Get it to us in January. Get it to us in February. And we can get that return almost done. And then we can work on the smaller remaining items that we're waiting for. Makes our life easier, makes your life easier, and allows us for plenty of time for changes, adjustments, and discussion. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. So just want to say thanks again for listening on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can find the rest of the shows on the new Automotive Repair Podcast Network app and on the rest of your favorite podcast listening apps. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.